Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Brian, Marie, Phil, and Stephanie. Welcome to Good News Updates.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Great. Today we're going to be talking about Sangha Market. And I'm wondering if one of you can start us off and tell us all about it.
I'll jump in, Michael. This is Marie.
Okay.
This is really a fun project. A group of volunteers have been working away many months to create this online marketplace called the Sangha Market. And what's really fun about it is it's set up completely to benefit Living Compassion and Zen Monastery Peace Center. And so folks can go on to the Sangha Market and list an item to sell and donate part of that to Living Compassion or Zen Monastery Peace Center, or they can you know, make things, all kind of ways to get products and benefit Living Compassion and the monastery.
Great, great. Tell me more.
Well, Michael, I can add a little bit to that.
Okay.
That you know, one of the reasons is the idea even came up for us to do this is we've been talking about it for quite some time, and we're pretty excited about all the possibilities that it has, and one of it is that how it can bring us all together as a sangha, all, you know, working together for the monastery and for Living Compassion. Buying and selling, and you know, it really is a Sangha market, and that in itself has a lot of possibilities. Just that, so that's one of my favorite aspects of it. Another is there's going to be a garage sale area on it, and I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, because we can recycle things that we no longer need or want that are still good, and sell it at a, you know, kind of an expensive price, and because it's a garage sale, and all those proceeds will go to Living Compassion and the Peace Center, so the Zen Monastery Peace Center. So that's one nice aspect of it.
Great. So you mentioned the idea of buying and selling things within Sangha.
Yes.
Yeah, which is really fun.
It is.
And a big part of the kind of inspiration for it was a lot of folks were having really good time doing fundraisers, like garage sales and whatnot, within their local communities, and having that be a good extension of practice for them. This is just another opportunity for people to connect and to do that kind of fundraising in a way that is easy for them to use and supports them.
Yeah, and it's great because I've been on there and it's beautiful and the way it's designed, you know, it's for the web and it's really interactive and easy to use, and that's great.
Yeah, I was thinking it's great for me. What I'm inspired about is that everybody can participate, and it's far-reaching, so no matter where you're located, you can click on there and find something and know that a certain percentage just off the top will go to the Zen Center and raising money for what we love. And it just makes it really fun to participate that way.
Yes, it sounds like it. So instead of going to eBay, I could go to Sangha Market and sell stuff there.
Exactly.
Yes.
Bill, did you
and Michael, to- yeah, there's another aspect of it the buying and selling is really easy, and it's getting easier and easier as we get our descriptions and instructions up there better and better. But it isn't hard, and you know, you have to dink around a little bit with it at first to figure it out. But anybody can be a seller, and anybody can be a buyer. You know, that within the Sangha, so you don't even have to be able to create something with, you know, like a garage sale in the antiques or whatever areas they are. You just look around your house and see, oh, I could, sell this or like that, and then put it on and see if there's a buyer. And it isn't hard, so we are hoping people won't be intimidated by any of that because our directions are excellent.
Great.
Yes.
Or getting there.
And I'm guessing there's probably a contact email if people have questions about it.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I found great about this from my experience was involving, I've asked members of my family and friends to get involved. So, they don't really necessarily know what this practice is all about, but they can still participate and know that they are adding to this great center. And I think that makes them feel good as well. So it's almost brought me closer to my family and friends because of this common goal.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're supporting you as you're supporting practice.
Yes.
And Michael, this is Marie again. One thing that's I really like, I'm enjoying a whole lot about it, is how creative people are being. And so, already on the Sangha Market, we have superhero capes for kids. We have jewelry. We have paintings. We have some services. There's an apartment being offered.
An apartment? Wow.
Yeah, in San Francisco. I was just trying to see if I could figure out any way to get that for myself.
Started bidding more.
And then, I've heard other ideas. Like one person was talking about buying these solar flashlights to resell.
Wow.
So partially doing it for the sustainability, angle, and then donating the money. And you can make things, you can sell things you already have. We're going to have a category for services, and you're going to be able to do auctions. And actually, we're planning an auction month in July, so that whole month is going to be an auction month where we really publicize that, and we can all go on there and bid for things.
That'll be fun.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, and I also wanted to mention the address or how to get to the Sangha Market.
Yeah.
If you go to the Living Compassion homepage, it's on the menu. There's a Sangha Market button you can click.
Okay.
Or you can just go to sanghamarket.com.
Great. Can you spell that for people who may not know how to spell Sangha?
Oh, yeah. It's SANGHAMARKET.com.
Great.
Yeah, and we usually say that it's run, the website is run totally by volunteers and who aren't taking any money for all their work. What else, Marie? We say something else, too. Oh, and, of course, all the proceeds are going to Living Compassion and the monasteries, Zen Center Monastery. And you can feel really good about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what I'm liking about it is, like, if I want to make a purchase, like if it's somebody's birthday, I can always go to the Sangha Market first and check to see if anybody there in my community is selling anything that I might give as a gift.
Yes. And it just occurred to me that you could share with the gift the fact that you bought it from this Sangha Market that supports practice.
Right.
Yeah.
What I hear and what all of you are sharing is really making the practice available in many, many, many ways to the world.
Yeah. Making the practice available and having a real easy way for anyone to jump in who would like to support, the organizations.
Yeah,
and just find a way to do that without holding a big fundraiser one day. They can find one little product they'd like to sell, and you can sell, a one of a kind thing. So it's just one item. So it's easy to kind of stick your toe into fundraising on the Sangha Market.
Yeah, and you know what? This is important. It's a win-win for all because it's set up so that the minimum is 20% goes to Living Compassion. Of course, it could, and the monastery could go up to 100%. But say if you wanted to have a part-time job where you're selling things on this marketplace, you could do that too. And part of the, you know, you would be making a little living. You'd be donating to the monastery. The people who are buying will get this wonderful product and feel good about their donation. So it really is a win-win for all. And as you purchase, you will know, you know, how much of the percentage is going to the monastery and Living Compassion, how much is going to the seller. And it really makes it very nice.
Yes, it often does seem like a win-win-win when we're doing practice.
Yes.
Wonderful. Brian, Marie, Phil, Stephanie, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank
okay.
you.
Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
That was fun, huh?
That was fun.
Yes, they're a great, great team of people.
Yes, 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 they are. It was fun to hear about that.
And I don't know, you probably have a sense of this, but they're, you know, because they're very kind of low-key and self-effacing, humble, meditative types. You know, they didn't really indicate the amount of work that's gone into this. They've been, you know, working like little beavers for really months and months and months. And you know, we have a conference call every week and check in, and people get their assignments, and everybody's cruising around and finding things that need to be fixed. And so it's just been a huge effort and a lot of fun and a tremendous learning experience, especially for some of us. Brian is the, you know, the most tech savvy person on the team, and you know, really guided us through all of that aspect of it. And Marie, you know, put her design skills to it, and the rest of us, you know, kind of you know, tried to work the site a little bit and come up with what it needed and that sort of thing. But it really has been a great team effort, and I share their enthusiasm for the potential that this has to both bring Sangha together and in that way that Phil was mentioning. You know, help people in difficult financial times to have a little income on the side, and also benefit the practice. And there was a second part of that went completely out of my mind. So, the tremendous potential for supporting practice. So we're enthusiastic, and I think it kind of, if you know, people listen in, I hope they race over there and check it out, because it's pretty ready to go, and we're eager for people to let us know if they run into difficulties so that we can get those fixed up. And as Marie was saying, you know, we want to have July be the huge auction month. And what, you know, our real goal is to have the Sangha Market rival the Bridge Walk as a fundraising endeavor. So everybody join us, please.
Yes, yes, very fun. And what's coming up for me as you talk is that there are so many opportunities and offerings from practice these days that are available over the internet and over the phone, and so they're really available to anyone anywhere.
Yes, they are. And the thing that I like to point out at this juncture is how many of them are at no cost for the recipient.
Yes.
No, it's just there's just a huge amount of literally daily support available to people at a really good price, a very workable cost.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And even with this, with the Sangha Market, you know, that idea that everybody benefits. You know, the person who is supporting practice in this way can also reap the benefit, the financial benefit of the support, and as well as the support for participating and that sense of, you know, of what is the word that I want? Just feeling good that each of us is doing our share to keep practice alive for all of us.
Yes, yes, yes. It's fun for me when you talk about, well, the way I think about it is really taking personal responsibility for the practice.
Yes.
Or making my best effort to make sure it's available.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy for us to forget, I think, as conditioned human beings, that you know, it was there for me when I desperately needed it.
Yeah.
Now I'm not so desperately in need, so I'll go on to other things that, you know, are more interesting or more current for me or whatever that is. And to realize that it's really important that we make it available for other people who are in that place where we were when we were looking around for the thing that was going to help us turn our lives around, and that it continues on after we're gone, that it's still available for people coming behind us.
Yes, it's a really nice way to say thank you.
Yes, yeah. To express our appreciation that people for the last however many thousands of years, because it you know, this practice actually didn't start with the Buddha, you know, it was already in existence. People all over the world were practicing what we call waking up and ending suffering, and have devoted their lives to that, so that it has come down to us and is available for us. And yeah, so to join in that group of people taking responsibility for keeping it in good repair for the ones who are coming next, it's a really humbling and awe-inspiring responsibility.
Yes, yes, indeed. Wonderful. Barry, I have some announcements here.
Right.
You will be at Namaste in beautiful Felton in the Santa Cruz Mountains on June 18th and 19th for a workshop that is also a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes. One of my favorite events of the year. It's always so beautiful there, and Jenny and Paul take such good care of us, and it is a great cause.
Yes, one of my
favorites. Everybody who's following along with the blogs that are coming back from there right now, in fact, we know what a great cause it is. It's just a lot of really exciting stuff happening there.
Yes, yes, which was another thing on my list of blogs. Jen and Tracy are over there right now doing some very exciting things with internet and baby blankets and buildings and all that.
Yeah, and back to the Sangha Market, that's going to be one of the stores on the Sangha Market site, is for the people of Cantalomba to be able to sell the products that they're making there to people here in the States and receive the income from that.
Wow. That's fun.
I am really excited about that.
That's new to me.
Our
great
rockin'est stores.
Yes. And then, Sherry, you'll be at Mount Madonna at the end of July for a weekend workshop.
Yes. And then get on a plane for Zambia.
Oh, wow. Wow. Exciting.
Yep.
And the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats are full for the two upcoming ones in May and June, and there's still space for the ones in July and September.
Better hop two, huh? Those are going to go fast.
Yes. Yeah, they seem to, don't they?
Pardon me?
They seem to go fast, don't they?
Oh, they do. Yeah. Well, it's such a remarkable retreat. And you know, one of the ways that it fills is that people go to it and they come back and tell all their friends and relations, you know, so
Yeah,
the word gets around.
Yes, indeed. Terry, we have many lovely callers here.
Right.
Okay, first caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Patty from Los Angeles.
Hey, Patty.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. What's going on?
Well, I'm just so glad that I got on this week because I've been trying for a couple of weeks, and now I know the secret is to call, like, first thing in the morning. but no, anyway, I'm just very glad
you
that I
You shouldn't
got
have
on.
Told. You shouldn't have told. Don't give it away.
But so. Anyway, I've been loving the show, and I've been loving all the conversations that you've been having recently about subpersonalities and creativity and, you know, kind of the role that the subpersonalities play in that. And it's gotten me to kind of look at some of my issues with creativity. And so basically what's been going on with me is that I've been unemployed for a while. And I quit a job that, you know, it started out as a creative job, and then it just really turned bad. And I've been wanting to get out of it for a while, and so I finally did, and that was great. And I haven't really, I don't really know what I want to do next. And so in the time that I've been unemployed, I've just been, you know, kind of just taking care of myself and kind of exploring different interests that I have. And one of them is sewing. I've gotten really, really into sewing in like the last year or so. And what I'm seeing is that it's like I was allowed to do that up to a certain point, and then conditioning said, that's enough, you've had enough fun, it's time to get to work now. So
you mean this,
you
recently,
know,
this has just happened, you don't mean when you were younger, you
well,
mean now.
It's happening now, and what I'm seeing is that this has happened in the past. This seems to be a process that repeats for me, and what I kind of, you know, put together recently is that there's a subpersonality who was just really, really into doing art when I was growing up, because I used to paint and draw and sculpt and stuff, and I was really, really into it, and I was good at it. And then when it was time to go to college, I pretty much just put all of that away, because I believed that in order to be responsible, I had to go into a field that was, you know, going to lead to a stable job. And that's like, you know, in my family, people don't go into art as a career. And so I, you know, it was like that, all of that got put away. And I haven't, you know, the interest in art hasn't really come back. But it comes out in other ways, you know, like sewing really feels like, to me, it feels like the same kind of creative urge. And what I'm seeing is that it's like the same process that happened way back then when I quit painting, you know, it's like the same thing is happening with the sewing. It's like, okay, I was allowed to do that hobby for a little while, but not anymore.
We wonder why adults don't seem as happy as kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, there you are going along, doing what you love to do, completely lit up about it, feeling good about yourself, because you were good at what you were doing and what you love to do, but that's not responsible. What you have to do when you're an adult is do something that's going to provide a steady income.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it doesn't surprise me that that tends to be a heart-closing experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be great if the thing that lights you up would also produce a lot of money. That would make everybody happy, but it does. That doesn't seem to. That's not what people are encouraged toward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people slip through and manage to turn what they love into a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. it's not. It's seen as a kind of a fluke, rather than something that we could all learn to do. You know, a lot of money is just the, you know, we're just covering that, be responsible, take care of
right.
yourself, be financially, you know, all of that. You
can right.
be as rich or as not rich as you want, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel like, you know, a lot of these issues get muddled for me because the profession that I did go into was creative. I mean, I became a professional writer. So I did make money off of something that was artistic, but, you know, it just wasn't the same. It wasn't the same thing as when I used to paint or draw. And
well, if you had gone to art school and then got a job in advertising.
Yes.
You know, it isn't the same. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you might be able to manage to keep that love alive, but when things are done to deadlines and other people's
mm-hmm.
standards and that sort of thing, it starts taking the fun out of it.
Mhm. Yeah, exactly. And so I've seen how the fun gets taken out of a lot of my pursuits, you know, like recently, you know, I got back into fiction writing, and I was really enjoying it up until the point that it started to become about getting published.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was like I just completely lost interest in it.
Yeah. So you started out talking about aspects of the personality, sub-personality.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
feels like you're kind of closing in on something here, right? So who is it who loves to do this stuff, is, you know, is writing the fiction and really enjoying it, and then who comes in or what comes in to say, oh, you know, in effect, this is great. Now you'll be able to publish this, and, you know, and it starts feeling like the same route of, that's great that you've been enjoying that, but now how are we going to turn this into something that is useful or that we can make money from?
Mm-hmm.
Get rich and famous. And that person, that creative person, goes away.
Yeah.
And, of course, without that creative person, the person who came in with this idea about being published is
yeah.
out of business.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And I don't know, I mean, right now I just feel like maybe what I need to do is just let that person who, you know, the person who wants to just do her thing and not worry about whether it's practical, just let her do whatever, you know, just let her sew for as much as she wants to. Because
well,
she had that taken away from her.
Yeah. The thing about it to me is, with these folks, you know, what they really need is a wise mentor who's going to be able to make sure that everybody's needs get met. That no one is going to pay a price for that.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yes, which is my encouragement to you to find out who all these people are, okay? Because if there's someone in there who, there could be someone who just went, oh, yeah, you're right, I do have to make a living. That would be an important person to know. And so the whole that whole range of people, from the little happy artist to the, you know, creative, kind of spontaneous, just want to do what I want to do when I want to do it person, to, you know, right up to, okay, who is going to pay the rent? To see how all of them could begin to work together so that all of these needs of yours get met. No one is excluded. No one is put upon.
Right.
So is there somebody who would be really interested, actually, in doing something to make a living? I bet there is.
Not right now. It doesn't feel like it.
Right. Well, this personality, this little seamstress, is definitely a dominant personality right now. And which is understandable because, you know, folks got cut off from that and didn't get to enjoy that. But for me, it starts feeling like, and I mean, you can obviously, you know, this is just my perspective. You're gonna do whatever. But it's like when I talk to people about grieving, and it's clear that the person who is grieving has taken over everybody's life. And not everybody is grieving. So it's true that that creative person got cut off from being able to express herself the way she would like. But that's not really an argument for now cutting everyone else off.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then what we tend to do is just kind of slam into a wall over here and then slam into a wall over there. Because if she's allowed just to run the show for as long as she wants, then her need gets met. And I'm suspecting that what you're going to get hit with next is, oh, my God, what have you been doing? You
mm-hmm.
see, when the people come up who say, okay, and now the finances are not looking good, and you don't have a program for where we're going next, and what are we going to do?
Right.
See.
Yeah.
It fits for you, but
I get a sense of that kind of happening sometimes, but I've just thought of it as just conditioning trying to rain on my parade.
Yeah.
You know, that
yeah.
that conditioning
which
comes
it,
in and
which
you,
it could
you've
be.
Had enough fun.
Yeah, which it could
yeah.
be. Which
mm-hmm.
is why my encouragement always is to have that conscious, compassionate awareness making decisions. So, you know, you have 15 or 20 children, and they all have different needs and different ideas and different passions. And your job as the compassionate parent is to make sure that they all feel loved and included and fulfilled.
Okay. So keep looking at the subpersonality, at all the subpersonalities, and
yeah, everybody
okay.
who's involved. You know, you can set up a little round table, and you know, bring everybody in and hear from folks. Now, if most people are going, let her play, you know, we don't care, we'll figure out something when the time comes. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are people in there who feel like, well, you know, that's great, but now she's getting all the airtime, and what about me? And what's going to happen with this? And how come I don't get to that? Then, Mom, you
right.
have to come up with a program.
Right, right. Okay. Okay. Great.
Good.
This has been really helpful. Thank you so much, Sherry. I really appreciate it.
At some point when we're together, I want us to talk about a play that I would like to, a subpersonality play
mm-hmm.
that I would like to do. So I'll just plant that little seed, okay?
Uh-huh.
Kind of like a one-woman show, all right, with all of the subpersonalities. at, you know, because there's so, people get so worked up about multiple personalities, failing to realize that we are all multiple personalities. And just to begin to explore all of the personalities, or many of the personalities contained in one human being, I think it would be so instructive and creative and funny and...
That sounds really cool. I mean, I'm just starting to scrape the surface of looking at subpersonalities. You know, I'm very new to it, but already just the few that I've seen in me, it's been really life changing to kind of you know, to understand them.
It makes you feel less crazy. It explains a lot of your life decisions.
And the compassion, and the big thing for me was the just having compassion for those parts of myself that never got that compassion before, you know.
And are waiting patiently or impatiently. Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
well, thanks so much, Terry. Thanks, Michael.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, once you swam in a river of joy.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, hello. You are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Vivian. I'm calling from Altadena, California.
Hi there.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
So I'm calling today despite the voices telling me not to. So I'm
proud
of myself.
Good woman.
Excuse me, I could really relate very much to the last caller. I, too, am having some difficult time with whatever personalities are coming up right now. I'm confused as to why I'm having such a hard time seeing myself as a capable adult, able to find a job and take care of myself. You know, I'm pretty smart. I did really well in school, and I got laid off of my job in November of 2008. I let myself really enjoy myself. I mean, really, really had the time of my life for a little bit over 6 months. And then I'm like, okay, now it's time to, you know, it's time to really figure out how we're going to pay the bills and how we're going to do all this stuff when the money's gone, you know. So after 4 years of listening to the archives and learning so much about how conditioning makes me suffer, I thought I had a pretty good grip of, you know, how to become aware when a voice is sneaking in and, aha, that's conditioning. And I really, for honestly, for the past 4 years, my life really changed because of these archives and listening to you. So thank you very much for that.
Very well.
But I'm really finding out.
Strikes.
Yes, I'm really finding out, and I knew that the voices were sneaky and that they don't go away. They just get more insidious. So I'm finding out that when the big thing happened, the life-changing event, you know, getting laid off happened, I thank God that I was able to really let myself play and really let myself tap into everything that I really wanted to do. But when the voices, you know, kind of started sneaking back, they hit me harder than they've ever hit me before, or at least harder than they've hit me since I was, like, you know, going through the angst of being an adolescent and all this stuff, you know. So it's really having a field day, beating me up, telling me all sorts of things about how, because of my age, it's going to be more difficult to get a job, and, you know, the job that I do get is going to be far away. The hours are going to be, I mean, you can just imagine the beating up.
Yeah, and this is the point at which I like to say, so, you know, I've been traveling quite a lot lately, and so I've been talking with a lot of people, and I always essentially say the same thing. And at a certain point, people say, well, you know, you're so hard on conditioning. I mean, you know, why can't we just love conditioning? Doesn't conditioning need, you know, and I say, well, you know, knock yourself out if that's what you want to do. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't like you and it doesn't actually want you to love it. And, you know, when it all comes down, I predict that you're going to find out just how really ugly and vicious and hateful and nasty it is. And that's exactly, not that you didn't know it before, but the magnitude of it is shocking.
Yeah.
We would think, you know, we would think as decent human beings, well, you know, she's having a hard time. Let's give her a little break here. But no, she's down. Stomp on her.
Yeah, and I think the thing that, I don't know if it surprised me more than, maybe, you know, it surprised me, was that even though I was getting really good at when something came up in my life that I, and especially when other people would talk to me and they would say, oh, such and such situation is happening, and I would say, you know, why are you rushing to, you haven't read the entire book, you don't know the ending, so, you know, the voices are trying to get you to think that it's going to end a certain way, but in reality, just be present in the moment and things will naturally come up and you'll handle them at that time. But it doesn't mean that, you know, A, B, and C is going to turn out to be a certain way. So I'm trying to apply that to myself, but it's really almost shocking to me how, no matter how well I thought I was doing, it's like conditioning is like, was just kind of like waiting quietly in the wings and said, oh, you thought I just was, you know, X amount of strong, but no, this is how strong I really am. So it's, you know,
well,
it's
almost
a good thing to know.
Yeah. And, of course, I have to remind you that as strong as it is, you're stronger.
Mm.
It doesn't feel like it right now, but it's still true.
You
will still be able to outdo it and outweigh it and outlive it. So that's good to remember. And it's also good, I think, to know exactly what you're up against.
Mm.
You know, because what happens with this is that you no longer have to say to yourself, well, now, is that good advice? You know, is that true? Shouldn't I really listen? Because what if those voices have something that's important for me? No. They don't have anything important for you to know, and you don't have to pay them any attention. Not easy, but you can do it.
Yeah.
So what's really going on now is the parts of you who are scared and really upset and scared, nervous, anxious about the future and what's going to happen and that sort of thing. All those folks really need you now to take care of them.
Yes. And you know, can I just say that to my credit, I must say that I am actually going to be losing I rent the where I live, but my partner cannot afford to pay the rent all on her own. So we're actually going to lose our place, and we're going to be moving in with her family. And to my credit, during, you know, this whole time, what I've told myself is, you know, I'm so grateful that I have people that love me and that I love that are willing to take us into their home. I'm very grateful for that. And I'm also not freaking out. Like, I think if this would have happened to me, you know, before I ever started listening to the archives and learning about, you know, all this stuff, I think I would have just really been in a deep, dark depression.
Oh.
And I'm depressed, obviously, a bit to a certain degree, but I'm really able to, like, kind of keep it together, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And give yourself full credit, you know. never stop acknowledging the work that you've done. And, yes, you're right, to feel that gratitude about where you would be if you hadn't done that work. So that's a very good thing to be focused on right now, right? And so the other thing that would be, I would say, most essential to focus on right now is taking really, really good care of everyone in your sphere. Everyone inside, everyone close to you. It's a real hold hands and go to the best place available to you, and, you know, we'll all get through this together.
Yeah, and are you referring to, like, really, because the intuitive thing that keeps coming up for me is that I can use this opportunity now with, you know, living with her family. She has a elderly grandma, like, in her 80s, and then she has my sister-in-law, who I love dearly, is you know, has some health issues. So I'm really getting an intuitive sense of I can really be present with these people and they need something, I'm there. Boom. Do you need a ride to the doctors? I'm there. Do you need someone to, you know, listen to your story of when you were a little girl? I'm there, you know. So that's maybe, I can really use that
as an
opportunity.
How can I help?
Yeah.
Right? How can I help?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent.
Which I'm the kind of person that really needs to be able to tap into that part.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, it's not that I think that there's any purpose in life, because I don't. I mean, I don't. I actually don't think there's not. I just don't think there is.
Right.
But if there were, this could be one of those, this is where you're being guided. This is where you're being directed.
Mm.
This is the next thing for you, rather than a bad, terrible, horrible mistake. It might be saving you from just going along with life as you were going along. This is your next big opportunity to choose compassion, regardless of the content.
Well, that's really, really beautiful, and I had not thought of it that way. And I mean, I guess, you know, part of me had, like, I'm accepting it and everything is going to be okay. But I no one had ever really put it in those terms, including myself. So thank you, because that's a really wonderful thing to do and to aspire to grow from,
yeah.
You know, to be there for others,
yeah.
To be of service.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. So you'll keep us posted, right?
I will. I'll call back.
You'll check in.
I will.
Let us know how you're doing, how it's going. Take advantage of every ounce of support you can get from every quarter. You know, you're going to be giving a lot of support. Make sure you get it. All you can get for yourself.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Vivian. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was really fun and inspiring.
Yeah. You know, people have such good hearts,
yes.
And we don't often see life framed in a way that is asking us to, calling us to, and offering us an opportunity to let that good heart be what guides and inspires not only us but everybody else as well.
Yes, yes, indeed.
all of that, you know, be the greatest thing that ever happened to them.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Okay, we're going to stop, drop, and breathe, and we'll be right back.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back. Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right. I could just never hear that without laughing.
Yeah.
I just love it. Those screams at the end is just too good.
Yes. Okay, next caller. You are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael. It's Rebecca.
Hi.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey.
We got our creative crew tonight.
Yeah, I loved what everybody's been saying. And I want to tell you one thing about my writing team that's been going on.
Uh-huh.
But then I just one little comment, and then I want to talk about something that I saw today, something else. But you know, I've got these subpersonalities, and we're a team, and we're meeting every week, and we're writing. And the thought came in, you know, this little conditioned thought that said, is this really how you write a book? I don't know if this is really getting anywhere, you know, that whole thing. And it was so funny because the answer that just emerged was, well, this is what we're doing, so this must be how you write a book.
That's clear, isn't it?
Yes, it just put the whole thing to rest. I thought that was,
yeah,
you know,
go ahead.
No, you please.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, it am I really where I should be in life? Well, this is where I am. So,
yeah,
obviously, this is where I should be. No,
yeah,
good.
In fact, you know, it's like conditioning could pick us off one at a time. You know, each subpersonality, it knew just what to say to stop me when I was identified with one or the other. But when we're all together and I'm kind of holding the space for all of it, it just doesn't get near the traction. So, anyway.
Yeah, very good.
So I saw something that felt quite large, quite deep today. And I had this debate about whether to call in because I feel bad because I just got on last week, you know. But I thought, well, if there's a debate going on, it must mean good time to call in. But what I saw was this this deep place of distrust of any male, especially any male authority figure in my life, and how that there's a really, really deeply held belief that no matter who it is, it's going to be disappointing, whether it's my mechanic, my doctor, my, you know, anyone, really. And it, when I saw that, I had this sense that, ooh, I wasn't supposed to ever see this. And kind of this simultaneous shirking away, like I wasn't really supposed to see something, and it's kind of crawling back behind the shadow. And
so you were supposed to have a lot of kind of vague feelings about this, but never see the belief that was holding them in place, or the karmic conditioning that was holding them in place.
Yeah, the vague thing was that I was never really supposed to see my doubt I was never supposed to see my lack of faith in anything with regard to men. You know, never see that I didn't really expect it to ever work out. You know?
And is that because then part of it not working out would be your fault or your responsibility?
Well, I would say so, because there was a certain amount of shame that came up with that realization. But I would say that even a little more edging that out is that if I see how that I believe that men will disappoint me, then maybe it will stop. They'll stop disappointing me. I guess that is. I'm getting around to what you just said. Yes, that ultimately I will or whatever that is will stop sabotaging things, and that things might really work. And that's sure not supposed to happen.
So you're suspecting there might be an element of karma is seen to be accurate because we make sure we get the karmic result that karma is telling us we're going to get.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And if I see it, then the whole thing could fall apart.
So I heard myself just tell somebody a little while ago about a line that I just read, which was describing this particular person or people, that there are people for whom wish quickly becomes hope and hope quickly becomes expectation.
Wait, what quickly becomes hope?
So wish
a wish
hope becomes expectation.
Uh-huh.
So I wish that men would be the way I want them to be. I hope that men are going to be the way I want them to be. I expect men to be the way I want them to be.
But it feels like I don't expect men to be the way I want them to be. I expect that they won't ever.
Go ahead. I mean, when you see that belief, that's what you get to.
Yeah.
But that's juxtaposed against the opposite, right? So.
Oh.
In other words, the whole structure is set up so that we're never actually where we are with what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the bottom line. And I can see that would have been a very, understandable, logical place to go when I was, you know, little, and the men in my life disappointed me, to just run away from that then and not be there for that disappointment.
Rebecca,
I
lost Sherry momentarily.
Oh, okay.
Sherry, are you back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Suddenly the entire world fell away.
Oh, yes. Yay.
And
Rebecca.
All of you went right on?
Yeah. Well, only very briefly.
There.
Is Rebecca still there?
Let's see. I think she is.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Good. So
you're actually clearer now. I was hearing static before, so this.
Oh, good. I mean, I'm on a landline, so I should be clear as a bell, but it didn't seem to work out that way. So anyway, my point was, I think, when I dropped off, that we are never meant just to be having an experience. Our experience is always has to be filtered through the beliefs and assumptions of karma.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right, right.
Yeah. So whether I have this expectation, this hope, this wish, this dream, this whatever it is, then I have a belief that it's not ever going to be true.
Yeah.
So I get both sides of the duality, and both of those I keep an eye on in preference to just being where I am with what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And I can go back and forth for eternity between those two and just slipping through what is, you know, just passing through, but never really able to stay there because the belief is gone unrecognized.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, just the way it's framed, and of course that's one of 10,000, 100,000, you know, of those kinds of things that we could get to. But the meaning that's attached to it, that doesn't,
yeah.
It doesn't really have anything to do with anything. You know, it's like, putting a story on a set of circumstances and believing that the story explains the circumstances when actually they don't have anything to do with each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, he will disappoint me. Well, you know, that's such a small slice of a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
I do.
You see what I'm saying?
I do. And
yeah,
and
but when it's framed like that, when it has that meaning, then the whole relationship becomes, will he or won't he disappoint
yeah.
me?
Yeah. Yep.
Talk about objectifying.
Say that again.
Objectifying. You know,
yeah.
to turn a person into one simple statement of meaning.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
all of your behavior comes down to one thing. Are you disappointing me or are you not disappointing me? Now, sooner or later you're going to. So we're going to just look at everything you say and do and are through the lens of, we know it's coming.
Yeah. There's going to work. And you know, I gotta say what's going on right now as we're having this conversation is that another whole story is trying to get built. It's like it's over here sort of on the left of my consciousness, just trying to get spun into existence of what this means now. You know,
uh-huh.
A whole nother story to try to pull me away from what is here. And what I'm seeing is possible, instead of just going into a whole lot of more story, for God's sake, about men who disappoint me, is just to have had the insight and just be with it, be done. I mean, in a way, just be done with it. It's just done, you know?
The insight could actually explode the relationship between men and disappointment.
Oh, my God, I love that. I get that. It could just totally in that instant have been done.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that is the best news I've heard in a long, long time.
Now, don't make it mean anything.
Yeah, exactly. Here it goes. Oh, that's great. Oh, that
all right.
Is so good. And so then the practice just is, okay, just keep watching all those things get trying to get spun into existence, and just you know, basically that's it. That's the practice right there, isn't it?
Yep. Yep. And just keep coming back to whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's
well,
fabulous.
Well, son of a gun. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
What does it
uh-huh.
mean? I just don't know.
Yeah.
Great.
That my mother used to always do.
Just that noncommittal. Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, thank you. This is great.
All right. Take good care.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have a few more minutes here, and we have another caller.
Right.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry Michael. It's Lakota from Washington.
Hey, hi. Lakota. How are you?
Oh, I'm really good. How are you guys?
Good. Enjoying life. What's going on in your part of the world?
Oh, I'm enjoying life, too. And just really enjoying the show. I love the radio show so much. It's just such a direct connection to the heart. You know, it's like every time I listen to it, even just an archive, but especially calling in, it's just, gosh, there's this present moment awareness, there's this joy, and there's this deep appreciation for everyone that shows up to make it happen. And it kind of feels like this safe haven from the voices of self-hate and conditioning. It's like, as long as I'm participating in this way, they can't get me, kind of thing.
You know, we just have to stop there and underline that, okay?
Yeah.
Because that is so well stated. I tell you, the number of times and ways I try to communicate that to people, I cannot even begin to count. And there it is right there. You know, as long as you are showing up and participating in that way, the voices of self-hate can't get you. That is exactly it. Yep.
And there's so much gratitude for that, and I love it. I feel so good. I love listening to all these conversations, and one thing that was just kind of coming up for me as I listened to them was just noticing the you know, the willingness to listen to the story or to not listen to it, kind of thing, and noticing these kind of, I don't know, there's not really sensations, but just these kind of qualities that go with listening to the stories or not listening to it and making that choice. And I just noticed how, like, you know, along with the story, there is, there's definitely suffering. I see that clearly. And there's this really, like, kind of, I don't know, feels kind of like this concrete, kind of solid quality, like something to hold on to, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's this sense of, like, almost like this trade-off, like you can suffer, and then you get this sense of, like, having this concrete something or other. And then I noticed, when I choose, like, no, not going to listen to that, I don't actually know what's going to happen. I'm just going to be here and breathe. That there's no suffering, there's this joy, but there's also this kind of like giant, expansive kind of openness that's kind of uncomfortable and unfamiliar, I guess.
Uh-huh.
A little bit, and I've just been noticing those kind of qualities and how, I mean, a lot of times it really feels like there's kind of, in choosing to not go with the story, it takes a willingness to feel that uncertainty, kind of, or that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to project, and then I hope you'll check it out and let us know, okay? I'm going to project that solid feels like ego being grounded.
Yeah.
It feels safe in suffering.
Totally. Yeah, that's exactly it.
And then you go into that expansive place, and ego is over there going, I don't like this. I don't like this. This is making
biting the snails like, oh, gosh, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. It's dangerous.
Yep. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so it might be fun and possible to reframe that so that expansiveness feels exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it really does. I mean, it does feel exciting. There's no doubt. There's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no question about that.
Yeah. And so, you know, if ego is nervous with that, well, don't come along for the ride.
Okay. Oh, it's really so exciting. Practice is so exciting. I just love everything about it. I love how when I show up, it shows up for me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, something that just kind of clicked for me at the beginning of the call was how a couple of different times it had crossed my mind that I really want to participate in a fundraiser of some sort. And it just sounds like a good time, and it sounds like a way, something I want to do. And a couple of different ideas crossed my mind, and both of them kind of wound up getting co-opted by conditioning and getting really complicated, and was just like, oh gosh, I don't know how I'm going to pull it off and that kind of thing. And so just yesterday it crossed my mind that it just dropped in, like, you know, I could sure use some support with this and some help. And, like, you know, maybe there's some way to participate in a fundraiser that's really just well-supported and really kind of simple, you know. And then there's the good news update with the Sangha Market. It's like, oh, my gosh, it doesn't get a whole lot more supported and simple than that. It's like,
right. I
it's
can
like
do that.
I asked and then practice provided. It was just like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, it's so well stated. You show up for practice, and practice shows up to support you. It's the same thing. It's like you choose your heart. Your heart is there choosing you. You know, there's no actual separation. The separation is an illusion.
Yeah.
It's so right.
Good.
You ask and you get.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
in that getting. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, you finished that thought.
Oh, I was just saying, in the giving and the receiving and that participation, there's that coming home to, you know, to that authentic experience and to the heart. And it is like, I mean, I could be in the depths of despair, following a story, and just absolutely in hell. And it's as soon as I choose to participate in that way, it's like there's no time lag. I mean, it's just instantly
right.
With the heart. And just coming back to that over and over and knowing how instantly transported to that, you know, place of authenticity I can be, it's like really heartening. It's really encouraging.
Yeah, yeah. And just for people who are following along to consider that the other is just as true. The opposite is just as true. You know, when we turn away from our authentic nature, from our heart, from the present, from practice, from participating, whatever, however we want to talk about it, we fall just as quickly into that place of despair.
No, there's no doubt. Yeah, it's just instant, and it's night and day.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So it really is as simple as turning our attention from one to the other. I turn my attention away from the present. I go with the story. I go with the voices. Boom, I'm in hell. I remember who I am. I remember my heart. I remember I want to participate. I'm in heaven.
Yep. There was a Practice Everywhere reminder the other day that was talking about how in life there's no certainties and no guarantees, just moment by moment freedom and choosing that moment by moment. And I just love that. I was like, that is it. It's this moment by moment choice.
Yeah, freedom. Floating.
Yeah.
Free floating out there.
Oh boy, it's so exciting. Well, yeah, I'm just so grateful and so thankful for the practice, and just love it. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much. You can call and let me know that anytime you like. Okay.
I certainly will. This is part of my practice participation plan too, is calling in periodically, and it's just so nice to share.
Yeah, it really is, and it's great to it's great when we hear the whole range. You know, from from what conditioning is doing to us and what a struggle that is to stepping free of it and into that freedom and that expansiveness and gratitude, you know, just remember that all of it is there for us. And that's what Sangha is getting to share all of that together. So it's good.
It is.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, I wanted to mention listening to Lakota about the Fundraising Everywhere program.
Did he do a great commercial or what?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Fundraising Everywhere is on the schedule. It's Sangha support for fundraising and joining, raising funds for the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
And that participation that Lakota was talking about so eloquently. You know, a chance to show up and choose your heart and have your heart supported and all of that.
It's a beautiful thing.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. And I'm going to invite those people who we didn't get to today to call in early next week.
Yeah. call in Tuesday morning.
Exactly.
What we learned from Patty.
Yes. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks again, Michael. Good night.
Good night.